B-Pod Studios.
Today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
Today, my special guest is Tim Ripper Owens. We talk about, of course, his projects, The Three Tremors, Spirits of Fire, and other projects. He's got so many, he can't even recall all the guys in the bands.
It was called Project Rock because it has Carrie Kelly, Rudy Sarzo, and who else?
We obviously talk about his time in Judas Priest and his relationship with the metal god, Rob Halford.
It's funny, we get along really well, and I think it's always made the press a little bit angry because we've always been friends. I mean, maybe way back in the day we probably said something, and it's hard to not say something to offend somebody nowadays, isn't it?
We discussed the movie Rockstar, which was loosely based on Ripper's life, Dio's Disciples and the upcoming Dio hologram tour, and tons, tons more. Tim Ripper Owens is my guest today on Talkin' Rock.
This is Talkin' Rock. Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
Thank you so much for checking out Talkin' Rock today with Ripper Owens. And I got to tell you, man, great conversation with him coming up here in just a couple minutes. So hang tight for that. This is your first time listening to the Talkin' Rock podcast. Go back. We've had some really killer interviews since 2019 started. John Five, Frank Bello, David Ellefson. I know I'm missing a bunch. But anyways, go back and check out some of the other ones. Subscribe. 5-star reviews and ratings and stuff are always appreciated. And of course, share it with your friends as we just crank out interviews, did about 100 of them last year. So we got the content. If you got the time to check out some of these great interviews with some killer rock stars. So in the meantime, Al Beck's going to be coming up after Ripper with some rock news. I guess some of the Grammy winners were leaked. We talk about that. Greta Van Fleet talking about some new rock. Speaking of that, new rock from Sammy Hagar, Tool as well. We'll talk all about that after Ripper Owens. He called me last week right on time as he's out on tour, or is going to be going on tour, I should say, with the Three Tremors project. He has so many projects we talk about and just a ton of things in this conversation that covers all sorts of topics. It's Ripper Owens today on Talkin' Rock. Hey, Ripper, is that you?
This is me, yep.
Hey, man, how are you? It's Meltdown from WRIF.
Good, how are you?
I'm doing good. I got to get a cool nickname like Ripper.
You do need one. Everybody needs one of those.
Yeah, that's right. I'm just teasing. But it's funny that you're on today because I was just watching Pawn Stores last night. I don't know if you've seen this episode where they actually had the hat and stuff from Jack the Ripper. Did you see that episode? You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I didn't see it. No.
Yeah, but it was
That'd be pretty cool.
It's kind of like what's where I'm looking for. It's just weird that I'm talking to you today and I was watching that just last night.
That is funny. Yeah, that is. I'd like to see that episode.
How's things with you? We're recording. We're going here, man. I'm ready to roll. How's things with you?
It's good. Busy, doing my thing. I'm lucky to do it. So it's busy, though.
Yeah, I see 2019, man, you got a lot of things. It's funny because I've talked to a few people already this year, for example, John Five and David Ellefson and stuff, where their 2019 is jam-packed, and then there's a couple that, they're kind of slowly starting to turn things out, but you've got a couple records coming out, you got tours, you got all sorts of stuff happening.
I do. I'm lucky I can stay busy, and, the thing I keep telling people, they're like, man, you got like 2-3 records coming out at the same time. Isn't that too much? I'm like, well, I didn't actually record it at the same time. They were recorded, I think each record might have been recorded a year apart. It just so happens they're coming out at the same time, so unfortunately for that.
Well, but it's fortunate, too, I suppose. Who can say that,
Well, I always say this. Some people say, man, why don't you just get in one band? I'm like, I think as a fan of music, and if you're a fan of me, you would like different records coming out because I sing a little different in all of them. They're all different. And it's an opportunity to hear a bunch of stuff from. I mean, the Three Tremors that's coming out and coming your way, that's total hard rock. That's total metal right there, man. That's power, screaming, high notes, classic metal.
Now, just listening to you talk and stuff, and this is maybe a stupid question. I'm not that familiar with your history, but are you a King Diamond guy?
I was more of a Ronnie James Dio, Rob Halford guy.
Okay.
I was more of a Rolling Stones, Bachman Turner Overdrive guy as well. So I could sing high notes. this record is a lot of high notes, but you know, I prefer the chesty, ballsy, you know, powerful kind of voice, you know, is more my thing. But no, I mean, I did like King Diamond, absolutely, but you know, it wasn't all my top. I liked Sabotage as well, and I liked all kinds of different stuff, really. But yeah, I mean, I'll listen to anything. King Diamond wasn't the top of it, but I still liked him.
Yeah, I've kind of gotten into King Diamond in my older age. I really wasn't into that stuff. I think that I'm turning 50 this year. How close are you to 50?
51. I'm 51.
Okay, so we're like in the same, you know, wheelhouse there. And so it's like, you know, like I was just talking with somebody earlier today about like Dee Snider, you know what I'm saying? Like that kind of stuff when I was growing up. And of course, the Sabbaths and the Ozzies and, you know, the list goes on and on, you know.
Absolutely.
So how many projects are you in right now officially?
Well, I have records coming out within a month or so apart. I have the Three Tremors, which was supposed to come out in October, really, and Three Tremors, and then, which is, you know, no one's done anything, an album like this, with three metal class, you know, power metal singers doing this record, and then I have one called Spirits of Fire that has Chris Caffrey from Trans-Siberian Orchestra and Sabotage, and produced by Roy Z, and, you know, that was recorded before Three Tremors, and it should have been out probably last year, to be honest. And then I have one called Project Rock, which we changed the name to A New Revenge. That was recorded about 2.5 years ago, but it was called Project Rock because it has Carrie Kelly, Rudy Sarzo, and who else is it? I can't even remember everybody.
You're in so many projects, you don't even know who's in them.
Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. James Kotek.
Oh yeah, you know, James. Yeah,
James. We would all go to Russia and stuff and just play our history, our all of our bands and stuff. And then we made that record. So that record's more like rock, hard rock, straightforward, catchy. Real. It's one of my favorites. Spirits of Fire is. It's Sabotage meets Judas Priest kind of stuff, and the Three Tremors is just power metal. You know, Europeans would love it, and it's got that edge to it.
So, okay, so in the band with you, you know, you got Harry Conklin and Sean Peck and whatnot. Who else is in this band as far as the Three Tremors are concerned that you're touring with?
Well, the band is actually Sean Peck has a band called Cage, and it's really ends up being his band because we were going to put a band together, and it's like, man, your band is so good, and they're right there in your hometown. You can rehearse, you can record. You know, it just makes it better. And they're young, and they are fantastic. You know, if anybody needs info, you know, you look up, I mean, you'll go to Cage's website, but thethreetremors.com or the Facebook pages, or even, you know, Tim McBrone's, my Facebook pages and Instagrams and all that, you know. But a fantastic band, and like I said, they're young and powerful, they love to do it.
Yeah, Spirits of Fire, that comes out on February 22nd. Like you said, it's kind of classic Priest meets Sabotage. You mentioned Sabotage as one of the bands you liked growing up and, you know, one of the bands that kind of influenced you and stuff. And working with Chris Caffrey must be pretty cool.
It is. You know, it's funny how you meet people on the road. I was promoting a Judas Priest record. I think it was the Jugulator record, really, the first one I did in 97. I was promoting it, and we went to a bar in... On the promotion trail in Berlin, I think it was, and Germany. And then we go to this little teeny pub, and there's all the guys from Sabotage there. They were there for a concert or something like that. I'm like, what in the... So we became friends, you know, way back then. And, you know, he played on a solo record, and you know, we've done shows together. And he played guitar with me on a solo tour. So it was really awesome to do this record. He's really an amazing player and a good friend. And, you know, and to have Steve DiGiorgio on bass and Mark Zonder on drums and produced by Roy Z, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, you've worked a lot with Roy Z, haven't you?
I haven't worked as much with Roy Z, but he's worked with all the circles around me. I mean,
right.
He's worked with Priest after me, and he worked with Rob Halford. He worked with Bruce Dickinson. I mean, he's really the guy that's just done an amazing amount of stuff. So it was an honor to be able to do that.
So that comes out on February 22nd. And, you know, speaking of Halford and stuff, I've often wondered this. Are you friends with him or do you know him at all?
Rob?
Yeah.
We, it's funny, we get along really well, and I think it's always made the press a little bit angry because we've always been friends. I mean, maybe way back in the day we probably said something, and it's hard to not say something to offend somebody nowadays, isn't it? But
yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
It's, yes.
And that's probably going to be on Blabbermouth tomorrow. Tim offends people. He's offended that he offends people. Who's offended? But, you know, Rob and I are friends, and you know, I remember when I first met him, I was like, holy crap, man. But he's a great guy, and I always, you know, it's funny because he always keeps up on what I'm doing, which I thought that was kind of funny, you know, really, that he'll say, hey, I saw you in Russia. So, it's, you know, listen, we have nothing but good things to say about each other, and why not? Why does people not, you know, why can't they just get along? That's what's pretty cool. It's pretty cool to be friends with him.
Yeah, I didn't think that you guys hated each other, for sure. I was just curious if you, like, knew him or whatever. You know, and like you say, I've met Rob several times, and, you know, a nicer guy in this business is really hard to find.
It is. I mean, and it's funny because my two idols were like that. Ronnie James Dio was my idol as well, and I became great friends with him. And really, you couldn't find a nicer guy than him, and who treated people so good. And so it's pretty cool to me and really, the guys in Judas Priest were the same. Everybody in Judas Priest, it felt like family when I was in them, and we got along so well. We still do. And we were such friends, and they treated me so great that it made it easier for me, you know, to go on and go, man, listen, this is cool. That's how people are.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you know, not everybody is. So.
Right, yeah. You know, I got to admit, most of the people in this business that I run across, and I mean most, like, I mean 95% of the people I run across are pretty nice people. I like them, you know?
Yeah, they are. Absolutely.
I just hung out with your boy, James Kotek, not too long ago, and he was great. I mean...
James, fantastic. Yeah, I just saw him. We shot a couple videos out in L.A., I've done a few shows out there this past year, and he's always come out and hung out. Yeah, James is great. He's a fun, great drummer, great showman, and a great guy.
Now, are you still based in Ohio?
I am still in Akron, Ohio, Green kind of area, but I'm still in that. You know, I might move someday, but listen, nowadays I sit in here in my studio, I record all my vocals. You know, I don't have to go anywhere. I'm close to the airport, and it just makes it nice, you know, and all my family and all my friends are here, so, you know, I'm not going anywhere right now.
Yeah, in 2019, I guess that's pretty cool. So, you mentioned Dio, and I only had a chance to meet Dio once, and it was one of the greatest experiences of my life. I mean, he you know, I was on his bus with this girl named Jessie Galante. Have you ever heard of Jessie?
No.
Okay, well, anyways, she was back in Buffalo where I grew up. She recorded some stuff with him, apparently, and you know, Ronnie's from Cortland and stuff like that, and so... Anyhow, long story short, she took me on the bus. This is like 1994 or something. He was so nice, so gracious, hugged me when I left, said thanks for coming. I mean, he was just the nicest guy around. And now you're doing this Dio's Disciples, too, every once in a while, right?
I do it. You know, Wendy Dio's managed me. Man, it's going back now. I don't even know when she started. Maybe 2006 or maybe before that. I don't know. But, yeah, she, you know, that's how I became friends with him. And, you know, I like doing it. I don't do it that often, but I enjoy singing it. I enjoy celebrating Ronnie. I enjoy singing his songs with his friends and his bandmates. You know, we're doing this hologram tour coming up this year, and we're going to hit the States with it, I hope. And, you know, I want to do it because no one's ever really toured like that. I want to experience it. You know, listen, I've experienced just about every kind of stuff you can, from being nominated for a Grammy, from, you know, going to the Grammys, to whatever, being Judas Priest, whatever you've said, I've done, it seems like. But I'm looking forward to it, and to celebrate Ronnie and to do this hologram thing will be pretty cool.
Now, this hologram thing, they've done it a few times overseas. Is that right?
Yeah, we did it. We did a little run last year. And, you know, it was the first time it was really done on a tour. So, you know, we need to go back and, you know, they need to go back and work on a few things and tweak a few things and try to figure a few things out. And that's what they've been doing. And, you know, it's been growing, though. I mean, I know there's like a Zappa, his company, Jeff's company, iIllusion has like a Zappa one. And, you know, there's going to be a lot. I've always said, you know, I know some people don't think it's a great idea. They don't like it. And I understand everybody has their own opinion. But me as a fan, I think to myself, man, I would love to see like a David Bowie hologram show. I mean, I would love to see a Frank Zappa hologram show if I'm a, you know, So to me, it's going to be pretty cool, and we'll see how this one goes. It's, you know, listen, like I said, it's new touring, new steps. You keep doing it, and you know, like I said, I want to do it because I'm a fan. I was a friend, and it's something new that I could just, you know, go do.
Yeah, sometimes I'll throw out questions on my social media, like, you know, if you could see anyone that's not around anymore or whatever, who would it be or something? And I forget, you know, when somebody writes Pantera, that's right, there are many metal fans out there that never saw Pantera. And I mean, Dio, as the years go by, there's probably a lot of them that haven't seen Dio either.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, all new fans come along, and there's people that just want to see them again. I mean,
yeah.
I'd love to go see an Elvis show, because I remember the year he died, I was a kid and I was supposed to go to his concert. My parents said, "We'll take you to go see Elvis," when he was going to come to Cleveland. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, people want to see stuff, or you just want to see it again. Me, I want to put, even putting the hologram aside, I just want to go hear Ronnie's band playing live with Ronnie's voice coming out through the PA system, a live version of it. To me, that's like, sounds like a real concert, you know, and it has the real vibe. So now you get to look at a hologram up there. You know, again, like it or not, it's creepy, whatever. I mean, people, the number one movie at the movie theater is a movie about a dead guy in Queen who's another guy's playing it. You know, it's funny. This is, people complain to me about, it's a hologram, somebody's making money from it. No, Wendy Dio is paying $1 billion to try to get it to work. And second, people have just went and watched dead musicians being played by somebody else in a movie. Or they go to a wax museum and they go, this is all right. Well, who the hell is making money from that? You know what I mean? It's like, come on, people. Now, I'm not joking. Sometimes I think it's, you listen to what people say and you go, you do realize that's even creepier, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, no question,
you know,
about
but
it.
I get people not digging it, and I get it, you know, but I think the main thing is I just want to celebrate it and do it.
Yeah, it's so cool. Dio was so great, so live, and such a big voice came out of that little guy, you know?
Yeah, it was giant. Listen, he could sound like a woman to the devil all within one line, you know? And I'm like, yes!
I knew a guy back home where I grew up that actually went to school with him, and one day he brought in this thing, and he pulled it out of his wallet. He goes, "Hey, check this out." And it was an advertisement to come and see Ronnie Dio that night from 1967, and it was Ronnie's high school yearbook picture.
Yeah. Dude, he used to do that, like Ronnie and the Redcaps. They were like a rock and roll band, like a Dion and the Belmonts kind of a thing, man. It was craziness. You look this stuff up, and listen, he was talented, man. You talk about a talented musician and a smart guy. That was Ronnie Dio.
Yeah. So of course, obviously, you're probably best known for your time in Judas Priest. What kind of stuff do fans ask you about your time with the Priest?
Mainly now is, are they ever going to put my albums back out that I did with them? Why are my albums gone? Mm-hmm. Why can't we buy your albums? I think that's probably the main thing, but they just like to pick my brain. I think they always want to know if they were nice guys and how was it and are we friends? I think that seems to be the number one thing. So it's always really cool to go, it was great. We are friends. You know, we were friends. We are friends. And it was an amazing time. So I think that's really the thing they ask the most.
Yeah. Did you read, I think I know the answer. So you read KK's book?
I haven't read it. And I'm looking at it right now because they sent it to me. I got it. I went to leave town and I was going to read it when I was gone. And I didn't read it. I didn't take it. I forgot the book. I like, oh man, I couldn't believe it. I was on a tour. So I'm waiting to go on this American tour coming up here, and I'm going to take the book with me on that tour and read it, because when I'm home, it's just so much going on. You know, now that you say that, I should probably go put this up on my bed, because it's sitting in here in my studio, and I'm in the studio in my office. I don't really read anything. So
yeah, you're going to walk out without it again. So have you talked to Glenn since, you know, his diagnosis with Parkinson's and stuff?
We've emailed back and forth a few times, and it is sad, but you know, Glenn's a fighter and an amazing guy, man. You talk about some fun times. All of them are, and Ken as well. And I talked to KK quite a bit, and I talked, you know, like I said, Glenn and I messaged back and forth a few times, and that's about it.
Yeah. Now, it's, you know, I have some friends that were in some pretty big bands, you know what I'm saying? And now they're out and stuff like that. And it's always like, I don't know, how do you approach that or talk about it? But your time seemed to be pretty good, huh?
Yeah, no, it's great, man. Everything's great. I mean, that's great with them, great with my career. Everything about everything is I'm pretty lucky, man.
Yeah. It's funny because, you know, obviously people know that Rockstar movie is kind of loosely based on your experience and stuff. And I've said this before, but that I don't think that movie's aged very well. It's like Jennifer Aniston has aged pretty well. But that movie, you look back on it now and you're like, yeah, it's a little bit cheesy. But, you know what I'm saying?
But that's what they wanted, though. They
right,
wanted
right.
A Final Tap kind of a thing going on with it, which was kind of a shame because the real story, and that's really why Judas Priest pulled away from it and became loosely based. I mean, it was based on me, and then, based on a New York Times article about me. And then they were like, yeah, this isn't going quite right. So they pulled away from it. But, yeah, it's a shame they didn't make what's great, though, is now a movie can be made about me. And the craziness, and in that movie, there will be a movie made about me. So how about that? It's going to be kind of the craziest storyline ever.
So it's funny, too, to look back, because I just saw that movie like last year. I don't know, it was on TV or something, and I started watching it and whatnot. But it's funny to look back and see all the guys that are, kind of big hitters in the rock business now, like Miles Kennedy and even like a Michael Starr, and of course, you know, Zach and Jeff Pilson, the whole thing.
I know, it is funny. It is funny. And I remember I was doing a festival in Europe after that, and somebody said, hey, Ripper, there's your band. I'm like, what are you talking about? And there was a Foreigner was playing at the same festival. And I'm like, that is too... And I didn't even realize it. So we took a... Funny thing is, we took a photo together, Jeff and who's the drummer? I can't remember.
Oh, Jason, was it Jason Bonham? No.
Yeah, Jason Bonham.
Jason Bonham, yeah.
And Jeff... Yeah, and I go, hey, and so we took a picture together, and I don't know whatever happened to it, but it would have been pretty funny to put that out there.
Now, give me the timeline of that, because did that movie come out when you were in Priest?
It did. As a matter of fact, that movie came out. This is the easy, listen, I don't have a good timeline of anything, but this one I have a timeline of. That's because it came out on around 9/11.
I was going to say 2002, but yeah, right around there. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Yep. And it came out, Judas Priest was playing in Mexico. We were leaving Mexico on our way to L.A. to start an American tour, and I was going to be doing a bunch of press, like Jay Leno and all these shows for the movie. And 9/11 happened the morning we were headed to the airport, and then, pretty much put a halt on everything. I was in Mexico for about 5 days. The band was able to fly back to England about a day or so later because they were able to fly around America, so they were actually able to get away with it. But I was stuck there, and then the movie didn't have a horrendous first week opening. It didn't have a for that kind of a movie, but then 9/11 and it just tanked. But yeah, it was. That's what's funny. That's the only way I know is I was at the airport and had to do America.
Yeah. Hey, real fast, just as a music fan, I was curious if you'd listened to the. Obviously, you've probably listened to Firepower from Priest, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think that's one of my favorite records from last year. I mean, I couldn't believe it when I heard it.
Well, it's definitely back to form, and I tell you what happens with all of us is you bring in some good producers, you bring in a couple, you bring in a younger guy who's got some new technology stuff, and you bring in Tom Allen, who's a classic genius with doing Screamer for Vengeance and Defenders. So I think that's what helped. This one they bring in some different angles and they write a great record, and Rob's sounds fantastic, and it's definitely a really good record, really good.
Yeah, I think I was talking to Rob about it. He said that No Surrender, that line in the end where he just screams a No Surrender. So he said the guy made him do it over and over and over again.
Yeah, and that's what happens. I remember when I recorded the Judas Priest records, Glenn would make me do stuff over and over again. And one day I thought I just wanted to. I remember calling home going, this is horrible. This is terrible. I was punching the wall and stuff because I was like, man, come on. It's good. No, do it again. And the funny thing was, this is the opposite. When I recorded the Yngwie Malmsteen record, it was the opposite. I would record a line and I go, oh, let me do it again. And he'd go, nope, that's good. We don't want to lose that one. Like, okay.
Well, I think it's more about Yngwie than you, actually, right?
Well, hey, listen, though. I was shocked because I thought, you know, here's the guy that invented a guitar style, but he changed the face of guitar playing, right? No matter what you think of him or what people think of him, he changed the face of guitar playing. So I'm thinking this guy's going to be like, I'm going to have to sing this shit over and over again.
Yeah.
And it was great. But it was from one to the other. But also, Yngwie knew what he was going to get with me by then. Judas Priest got a new guy. They knew I could sing Judas Priest, but they didn't know what to have. And when Glenn found out I had these different voices I could sing in, he was like a kid in a candy store, you know. So, but he would make me sing lines over and over again, and he would always say it, try to make me feel better. Well, Rob had to do that too. I'm like, yeah, bull crap.
You know, I was just talking to you. It's amazing the doors that opened up when Judas Priest came knocking, isn't it?
Well, I have always said it was my college. I mean, Judas Priest was my college. I mean, I was always a guy that had a job and was never going to, I didn't plan on being a musician, and I get a call from Judas Priest, so it's kind of funny. It's amazing, and it still opens, and I do, you know, I do more with my music career now than I ever have. I play more places. I play with more all these musicians. I tour the world under my name. So, they open that door up.
Well, I'll tell you what, Ripper, you got this tour coming up, the Three Tremors, touching down here in Detroit on March 9th at the Token. I think I'm going to try to make a trek out there to see you guys. And, man, I'll tell you what, no matter what Blabbermouth says, you don't sound like a dick at all.
Right. Well, actually, someone else supposedly called people that, and then I called myself that. So I kind of got myself. You never realize when you answer somebody on Twitter and they say, "What do you? How about that guy calling you that?" And I laugh. And I say whatever, and they go, "I am a dick." And then the headline the next day is, "Ripper's a dick."
I can read. I got it. You know what I'm saying? It's just kind of funny. I'm just goofing on you. But yeah, really good talking to you, man. Yeah. You know what you get? You got to go with the punches, right? And what are you going to do?
Yeah. Hey, listen, I've been called worse.
We both have, I'm sure about that. So,
Absolutely. Well,
good luck on the Three Tremors tour, and don't forget to take KK's book, and I'll expect a full review when you get here on March 9th in Detroit.
You got it.
And you know how our weathers are, our weather is up here, so I'll expect you to be dressed warm because it is freaking freezing out today.
Yeah, it's cold here. It's getting a little warmer, though, but school's off today because it was minus something, minus whatever out, so...
Wow. Well, Ripper, thanks so much for the time, man. Safe travels. We'll see you here in a few weeks, and good luck this year, okay?
All right. You got it, buddy. Thank you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Have you ever seen Ripper Owens live?
I haven't, no. No. I've seen Priest with Halford, but
right,
I've never
course.
Seen Owens.
Yeah, I don't know if I ever have either. So if you're in the Southeast Michigan area, anywhere near Southeast Michigan, I guess March 9th, he's playing the Token Lounge with this Three Tremors, which could be kind of interesting. So I might have to go and check them out and see what they're all about here as that comes up. That record is going to be released, Spirits of Fire, and his other projects. He can't even remember half the guys in the band. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, it happens.
Yeah.
You hear a lot of bands like that. So.
I guess so.
So,
yeah.
So, anyways, Al Beck is off to my left, and he's ready with rock news for today. We've got some, we even have some audio sound clips today. So.
I know. This
Very
is like, almost like an actual newscast or
Very
something.
Very exciting.
Yeah. Wow.
So, heads up on that. But, first off, you're going to start off with some Grammy winner leaks. Now, just to name drop just a little bit, 10 years ago, I actually went and sat in the Grammys.
Was that 10 years ago?
It was 10 years ago.
Oh
yeah. And you know who was sitting by me?
Who?
Ron Jeremy.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. I remember that. I remember being back in the studio and recording, like, some of your interviews. Like,
that's
we
right.
set it up through a phone line.
Yeah.
So I was back here in the studio recording the interviews you're doing out in L.A. It was crazy.
It's kind of interesting how they do the Grammys. First of all, it starts at, like, 5 o'clock in the afternoon or something like that. So out there, you know, in Los Angeles. And us here in the Eastern time zone, that's always kind of strange for us. And then you're not allowed to enter. Like I would have never been on... the television, even if like the camera guy would have had a heart attack and fallen over and didn't turn the camera in reverse, he would have never saw me on TV.
Sure,
right?
Of course. Yeah.
I was sitting like in the back. Right?
You're behind a counter anywhere.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And so anyhow, so they won't let you back in your seats until commercial. Mm-hmm. So even my crappy seats,
yeah,
like no one ever noticed.
Of course.
So I decided to go to the bathroom during Coldplay because who doesn't, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And so I'm like, that's Ron Jeremy. And there's the dude from the Bunny Ranch there, the Hoff guy there. And you know what I'm talking about?
He just died.
Dennis Hoff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so right. he's we're in the bathroom and stuff. Then they come in there waiting in the same line I am. The next thing you know, Ron Jeremy is sitting behind me.
Yeah. Ron Jeremy was behind you.
Right.
So you had better seats than Ron Jeremy. What
exactly.
A fall from grace he's had. My God.
I'll tell you more about that later. But anyway, so the Grammy winner leaks. What do you got?
Yeah, so it sounds like they had you on lockdown, Melton, but maybe not the winners of this upcoming Grammys. Now, this is either just an internet hoax lie or someone really messed up at the Grammys because there was a list of award winners that were posted on their website. And of course, immediately afterwards, it was taken down.
Now, I'm going to preface this by saying I haven't seen this story yet. Yeah. I don't know if it's real or false or whatever. And if it's pop stars or country, I really don't care. But just spill the beans.
Yeah. So apparently it was posted. It was taken down immediately. But of course, people are pretty quick. They get those screen grabs on their phones or whatever. The Grammys, of course, are completely denying this, but they do have some lists out there.
Spill the beans. I want some winners.
About Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper's Shallow as Song of the Year Meltdown.
Oh, yeah,
Cardi B would have the Record of the Year. Her, the Album of the Year. Best Pop Solo Performance is Zedd's The Middle. I mean, it goes on.
Zedd's?
I don't know. But
apparently that show, and I just saw this in passing the other day. Apparently, what's the movie that Lady Gaga's in with Bradley Cooper?
I have no idea.
Yeah, it's like a musical or something like that.
Sure,
can't think of the name. But anyways, it got like stiffed at like some award show recently. So now I think the Grammys tries to make things.
Yeah, well, one of the things pointed out in this story is
Fall a Rising Star or something.
One of the things pointed out in the story is that there is a name missing from the list of winners. If this is in fact legit, Best New Artist is not Greta Van Fleet. It went to some Chloe something or other.
Would you expect? I mean, would you really expect a band of four people to actually play instruments to become new artists of the year?
Something?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'll tell you this much. Go back and look at some of the winners in past Grammys. They're like, it's kind of like a laundry list of where are they now, okay? Yeah. The thing that really sticks out to me, first of all, when Metallica loses to Jethro Tull as Heavy Metal of the Year in 1989, there you go.
That's like the biggest example
that comes
up all the time.
And then when Johnny Cash covers Nine Inch Nails' Hurt for MTV Video of the Award, which was something totally different, and loses to some dance pop whatever, I mean, that is a complete travesty.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, but speaking of Greta Van Fleet, so they're talking about a new record, which doesn't surprise me, because those guys, man, they put out that EP, and then they got their new record, which I really love, which we've talked about before, but they're saying possibly by the end of the year.
Yeah, the guys thought it was really important that they get right back out there and get their second album out as quick as possible, which I understand too, kind of riding that wave, and they have been so huge. So yeah, they got right back to work, and they are expecting to release their album number two here in 2019.
All right, we'll see what happens with that. I really want to get to this thing. So Sammy Hagar posts this thing. Was that on Instagram the other day?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's on Instagram, and he walks into his studio, and he starts talking about this this new song. And what is it called?
The new song is called Trust Fund Baby.
That's right, Trust Fund Baby. So here's a little audio of Sammy Hagar sharing it. I don't know what that thing was. Do you know what that pyramid thing was? Mm. It was playing off of?
No, I have no idea.
I mean, I know I'm not that technically savvy, but he walks into this recording studio, and well, here, you can listen to hear how it sounds.
Look at this! Can you believe this thing? Watch it!
Money's on a slow train, oh Lord, trust fund baby,
concerned, that's like just pure Red Rocker. That's Sammy Hagar. Michael Anthony banging away in the bass right there.
That's right. Jason Bonham, Vic Johnson, all in this group. The band is called The Circle.
Right.
If you want to look more into that. But yeah, that's coming soon, and there's a first taste for you.
Yeah, really cool stuff from Sammy Hagar. I like Sammy a lot. Super, super good dude if you ever get a chance to meet him. And he always throws those big parties around his birthday and everything like that. And I've had the pleasure to meet him a couple times, and just a nicer guy is hard to find. Really good dude. He's one of those guys. He's like, you know what, man? I got all the money. I've lived the life of a rock star. What do I got to be miserable for? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's like kind of how he is. So there you go. A little taste of a Sammy Hagar Trust Fund Baby, which he released on the interweb just the other day. Also on the interweb, we were talking about Grammy winner leaks just a few minutes ago. Mm-hmm. And apparently there's a little bit of leak with Danny Carey at the, was that a NAMM?
Yes, it was. It was at
NAMM. Was he like signing autographs there?
It was an autograph signing, and a fan kind of had a camera, probably just their phone, but it was hidden. And even the video is even sideways.
Yeah.
And he asked him a couple questions about a poster. He's got a question about his hi-hat. And of course, he's got to ask him about the new Tool album as well. The funny thing is, I feel like Danny Carey is just slightly less confused about what's happening with the new album than we are. He has a little bit better idea, but not much.
All right, well, let's listen to a little bit of this audio, and it's a little bit garbled, so afterwards, we'll kind of try to piece this together for you. Here's this audio from this kid that took this video. What's his name? Like Dirk something, right?
Something. It doesn't matter.
If I have another kid, I'm naming him Dirk.
There you go.
Dirk Diggler is going to be his middle name.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
So anyways, here's this video, and like Al was saying, on the internet, it's actually sideways, but it's if you're listening, you hear Danny Carey talking about the record.
Interesting. Anything you
about the whole album?
Really?
Yeah.
Anything you just thought
of? It's going to be out in April. That's the plan anyway.
I can't wait.
I can't hear him.
Oh, he's good. Sorry about that, dude. No, you're good.
Hey, have a great show.
All right, so what exactly was the audio there? What did he say?
Well, he kind of asked him a couple of different questions, but he asked him when we were expecting the new album out. And Danny Carey, like I said, maybe a little confused, but he said, yeah, it should be out mid-April. That's the plan anyway.
Huh.
Is what Danny Carey had to say. Of course, the last update we had gotten on the new Tool album, Maynard had finished his vocals.
So. Yeah, and those guys have a bunch of festival dates and stuff this summer, which, you know, in the world of Tool, doesn't really mean anything.
No.
Seriously, like some bands, just like they'll go on festival dates and, you know, oh, okay, because they have a new record coming out or whatever, you know. And as far as Tool is concerned, they've played some of my shows, you know, last year and whatnot. And it's like, you know, they just keep on playing. So anyways, yeah, it's pretty cool. Good work, Dirk.
Thanks, Dirk.
I'll tell you what, if things don't get better here on the Talkin' Rock podcast, you might be taking over Al Beck's spot. So we'll see what happens.
Well, good luck, Dirk.
Anyhow, all right, there you go. Al Beck and Rock News. What's your socials there? Hit it up.
Al Beck Radio, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
All right, at Meltdown WRIF, and if you want to follow the show, at Talking Rock with One. And like I say all the time, thank you so much for listening. I do appreciate that. It means a lot to you guys out there listening. And if you get a chance, plug a 5-star rating down on this bad boy on iTunes, and share with your friends. And as always, I say it every week, thanks for listening.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.